All right, let's move on to the regular agenda. We have a half a dozen or so items there to deal with, starting with 894.
894, amend contract with Rosenbaum and Watson LLP in the amount of $458,000 per year for a five-year total not to exceed amount of $2,243,834 for the independent compliance officer and community liaison for the Department of Justice settlement agreement.
Thank you. This is second reading. Unless there are any council questions, we'll proceed to a vote. Roll call.
Salzman?
Last week, Ms. Sadat and I got into a little exchange about the types of focus groups that are going to be funded under this effort, and I was sort of questioning, you know, for instance, why we have an LGBT focus group for consent decree that focuses largely on those with mental health challenges. Somebody approached me afterwards and said, how about a focus group for those with mental health challenges? So I hope that's part of the list, and I'll look forward to an update on that. Great. Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
So we do have to dedicate the resources necessary to support both the staff and volunteers who are working on the settlement agreement and its resolution. I greatly appreciate the work that's being done, and I also am committed to continuing to work hard on it. Aye.
Fish?
When I asked Senator Gordley to be my representative to this process, I made a commitment to her that she would have the resources and the support to make this a successful enterprise. And she continues to devote considerable amount of time and energy to the success of this process, which is incredibly important to the city and obviously to honoring our obligations under the DOJ settlement. And I think this is a reasonable request. Aye.
Hales.
Well, thank you. And Ms. Sadat, to you and your team, you have our full confidence, and that's why we're here today, to make sure that you have the resources to do the work. There's a lot of work to do here in building public understanding and building confidence in how we do this work, as well as making sure that we fully and completely comply with this mandate to change how we police our city. So all of us are fully committed to that, and that's why this is a unanimous vote, and I'm very pleased to say that. Aye. Thank you. 895.
Amend contract with Moore Iafocano Goldsman, Inc. to increase contract by amount by $29,215 to provide additional consultant services to include the Portland 5 Centers for the Arts facilities in the city's ADA Title II transition plan.
Good morning.
Great. Good morning. Carl Lyle with the Spectators Facilities Program at OMF, and with me, Danielle Brooks, ADA Program Manager for the city. So this is an item with a simple contract amendment to add an ADA assessment of the Portland 5 facilities. And the context for this item is the new spectator facilities and venues activities fund description, which was established with this year's budget, really, which clearly now explicitly includes oversight of the city-owned performing arts facilities as well as the other spectator venues. So that's kind of the context for this amendment, and this is some of our sort of early work in trying to bring those facilities into kind of our understanding and managing that portfolio of assets. So the city, just in context, the city owns the three facilities operated by the Portland 5 Centers for the Arts, the Keller Auditorium, the Arlene Schnitzer Concert Hall, and the Antoinette Hatfield Hall, which, of course, contains three theaters within it. So they're all operated by Portland 5 under the guidance of MERC, Metro MERC Committee, but they are city-owned facilities, so there is a city responsibility to bring them into our own Title II transition plan work under the ADA. So this contract amendment will allow the original consultant team that assessed the other 30-some buildings in the city's portfolio for ADA barriers. It'll allow the same team to sort of bring into those reports the same kind of information about those five theaters in three facilities. And we anticipate that work will be done early next year, so after the holidays, with a lot of the same consultant team members. performing that work for efficiency and consistency. It'll cost $29,215. And then following that assessment, we'll be able to work with our partners at Portland 5 and in the Office of Equity and Human Rights to begin to put together a multi-year program, solicit some public input on the barriers and the work done, and then put together a multi-year work program to begin addressing them. And some of those barriers are likely to be pretty easy things to address through routine maintenance and other things, and others are likely to be longer-term, bigger issues that we'll have to talk to Portland 5 about how they might get addressed in the future.
So as the council liaison to Portland 5, I just want to compliment you for a very succinct statement because you hit all the questions that we had, and that's why I fully support what you're doing today.
Great. Thank you.
Other questions or requests? Okay. Thank you both very much. Anyone want to testify on this item? If not, then it passes the second reading next week. Thank you. 896.
896, accept a grant in the amount of $95,239 from the Federal Emergency Management Agency for the fiscal year 2014 Fire Prevention and Safety Grant.
Thank you, Commissioner Saltzman.
Turn it over to Kim.
Good morning. I'm Kim Kosmas with Portland Fire and Rescue. I'm here for the hopeful acceptance of this grant.
Okay. Any questions?
I do. So this grant is for education of people who are deaf and hard of hearing on the importance of smoke alarms and other assistive devices. How will it be implemented?
Well, we have some plans that we are working on putting in place. We will be working with the Oregon Association of the Deaf and also with the Public Utility Commission of Oregon, which will have the telecommunication devices access program. We'll be able to do some outreach depending on what they say is the best way to outreach to that community. The TDAP program with the Public Utility Commission of Oregon, they rent those devices out to individuals that are hard of hearing. And so we would be able to do outreach by having pamphlets to put in with those, along with other things that we will be able to have as handouts and other avenues to reach those individuals and do it correctly. Because I know that it is very sensitive with this community as to how they are reached and
So will the Fire Bureau be doing the outreach, or will these community groups?
Yes. No, we're just bringing them as stakeholders in to discuss what we're going to be doing and what the best route would be to take to do that.
And have you had any conversations with the Commission on Disability?
No, not that I'm aware of at this time.
So I would suggest that should be at their next meeting to get on their agenda, because they will certainly have some suggestions for how to do that outreach. And how are you planning to decide who gets the assistive devices? Because obviously this is a nice amount of money, but it's not enough for everybody who needs one to get one.
Well, and that's where in the stakeholder meeting that we will be doing a litmus test just to determine what items or things we should be looking for, what questions to ask as to who will actually qualify to get these devices for smoke alarms.
So again, I would encourage you to talk with the Office of Equity and Human Rights and to have some conversations about
Definitely.
How to make sure that those who are most in need are the ones rather than the ones who are most connected to being able to ask.
Yes, I totally agree.
Okay, good suggestions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Other requests or questions for Kim? Thank you very much. Anyone else want to speak on this item? If not, then let's take a vote, please.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Novit.
Aye.
Fritz.
I appreciate very much the answers to the questions and applying for and getting the grant from the Federal Emergency Management Agency. I do believe it's important to I'm surprised that the Commission on Disability hasn't been involved in designing the project, and I want to make sure that as it's implemented, there's an opportunity, obviously, I would think, for Portland Fire and Rescue staff to be continuing education on equity issues and, in particular, their service to people who may be deaf or hard of hearing in the regular course of their work as well as in this program. Aye.
If I could share a piece of information, is that both Karen Brooks and Deborah Harrison have been two of the key players in putting this grant together. And so they have made contact with a lot of these groups, and we will be definitely making sure we check all the right boxes and do it correctly.
Okay.
Fish.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye. Thanks very much. Appreciate that discussion. Okay, let's move on to 897.
897, authorized contract with Sargent's Towing for abandoned vehicle towing and storage.
And I believe you want this returned. Is
that exactly,
correct?
Mayor.
So without objection, I'll refer this back to Commissioner Novick's office. And 898.
898, amend contract with Starfish Aquatics Institute, LLC, to provide lifeguard certification and auditing services at multiple Portland Parks and Recreation locations from the original contract amount of $100,000 to $220,000.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm quite excited about this. I've been assigned a speech by my staff. Usually I just toss it over to staff, but I'm going to also ask Eileen Argentina to come forward just in case there are any questions. So pay attention. This is the presentation.
All right. We're in.
This is an ordinance to amend an existing contract. It involves ongoing budgeted work in Parks Aquatic Program. Specifically, it's a contract for lifeguard certification and safety auditing, two cornerstones of our safety program. This contractor provides safety audits that are conducted without advanced scheduling and follow-up evaluation of our safety responses to ensure continuous improvement. The firm also certifies our lifeguard training program, and I would have to say I'm very proud of our services that we've provided to the families of Portland all summer, including some pretty amazing activities and rescues by our lifeguarding staff. The emergency ordinance is on the regular agenda because it involves amending a contract for more than 25% of the original amount. It was originally awarded pursuant to an open and competitive request for proposals process. Late in that process, the Bureau discovered the successful proposer would not meet our insurance requirements, and then the next and only other proposer was selected. However, at that point, the Bureau needed to make the transition as quickly as possible in order to minimize any gap in these critical services. And so I guess reading between the lines, we may have underestimated in the first place is the summary of this. The request for proposals anticipated a three-year contract with an option to extend for 2 years for a total of 5 years. The unexpected delay during insurance caused the Bureau to have to execute the contract for 2 years at a cost of $100,000. The three-year amount would have exceeded $100,000 and would have required extra staff time associated with getting to the council agenda. The vendor has performed well, and this ordinance will fulfill the original intent to contract with this vendor for a total of 5 years by adding three more years. Did I get that right?
Okay. Questions for either Commissioner Fritz or Eileen?
Just a comment, Mayor. When I was had the honor of being the Parks Commissioner, we had, I forget what summer it was, Eileen, but we had a near miss in a very crowded pool. And it's because of the training that the lifeguards received that they were able to save a life. And we did a debrief afterwards, and I learned a lot about the extensive training and also the role that Starfish Aquatics plays in doing the annual training. And the Bureau has an enviable record of keeping our pools and our aquatic programs safe. It's a very difficult job, and it's in part because of the quality of the people, Commissioner Fritz, that you hire and who provide services, but it's also because of this training. And so we are literally saving lives because of it, and I'm very grateful that we're making that investment.
Okay.
Saltzman.
Does anyone want to testify?
Are we ready for
that? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, no, I got myself confused and thinking that we were already voting, but we'll see if anyone wants to speak on this item. Got ahead of myself.
No, we're good.
Okay, there is none. So now we'll take a vote.
Roll call. Saltzman.
Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Fritz.
Congratulations on a successful summer. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Hales.
A very busy summer. And these lifeguards do amazing work, and having them properly trained means we have lots of great safe days out in the pools. So thank you. Work well done. Aye. Okay, two more items in their second readings, 899.
899, authorize a contract with the lowest responsive bidder for construction of the sewer level remote telemetry monitoring, demolition, and installation.
Okay, roll call, please.
Thank you. Saltzman.
Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye. And 900.
900. Authorize a contract with the lowest responsive bidder for construction of the Skidmore Pump Station upgrade for an estimated $731,000. Project number. Salzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
I'm going to vote aye, but I also want to thank both the BES and the Water Bureau for participating in two events recently, Mayor. One was the night market, and having Bull Run Water there was a big hit with people that were
yes, it was.
That were hot, and also for both teams participating in Sunday Parkways and providing information to the public through tents and also fresh Bull Run Water. So appreciate their efforts on that. Aye.
Hales.
Me too. Thank you. Aye. And we're recessed till 2 p.m.
Sure.